kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I have a title for us to talk about today, and we're calling this teaching, Love Requires the Word to Perfect It. Love requires the Word to perfect it. We cannot get away from the Word of God. It is the way God has purposed to speak to us, to teach us. And we know that His Word is not any book, not any old book. It is the book. It is the anointed book. God could have chosen to speak to us in numerous ways. He is God. But He chose to use the Word, the written Word, and to anoint it and to bless it, to identify with it, for He was the Word made flesh. So it is contained within Him. The Word of God is about God. It is about the revelation and understanding of Him. It is Him. The Word of God cannot be separated from God. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is where our faith is quickened. The Word of God, we know, works within us where we confess God's Word. We line up our confession, Romans 10:10, with God's Word. We don't speak against it. We don't speak or preach a different word or a different gospel like so many do, like the Jehovah's Witness or Mormons or whatever. No, it is the Word of God that we preach, we confess, we line up our belief with it, and that is the basis for us in which to be saved. But not only that, there is a work that God does within us that we know, which is through the Word of God, when we settle upon God's Word. And we don't try to deviate or change it or alter it because maybe we're having some trials and tribulations, or I don't quite agree with it, or feel I can't live up to it. No, we live by the Word of God. It is our confession, it is our belief, because we know that the power of God's Word saves a soul. It changes us. It brings about that new birth within our lives and hearts. It changes our thinking, our mind, our confession, our attitude. It causes us to see things differently. It is that two-edged sword that pierces and divides asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And that is why the Word of God is so imperative. And of course we know the parable of the 10 virgins. The wise virgins are the ones who have heard the Word of God. They love the Word. The Word has become their light, filling that vessel that is needed to be able to stand in the last days, so that the light doesn't go out like it does with the foolish virgins. The foolish virgins' light goes out because they didn't quite appreciate and understand this Word and how imperative it is. It is our spiritual food. We cannot live without it. Because if we do, we spiritually die. Now, I open up with this for a good reason, because as the title we're looking at today, Love requires the word to perfect it. That is what ultimately the word of God in this life is doing to us and through us. It is perfecting us in the love of God. Because love is seen. The world sees God's love. God's love is active, not passive. It requires us to walk in it and to move and have our being in it, whatever the day would bring along, whatever the blessings or the trials or whatever it would be. It is always the love of God that is active in our life. This is why I say so often, faith needs love and love needs faith. And when the two are working together, we have an active faith. A faith that is seen. Because how will we know otherwise? How will the world know? Will those around us or in our household, how will they know that you walk with Christ, you are a disciple of Christ, unless they see the love of God in action? And love knows how to apply, faith knows how to apply that love. Faith will never be put off by the obstacles, and we have many. And the enemy is throwing much now in our path in these last days, but faith will know how to conquer. Whatever your personal trials are, faith knows how to conquer because of the love of God. You cannot separate the two. And that's why we're calling this teaching today, Love Requires the Word to Perfect It. Let's look now in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. So he says, whoever keeps his word, the love of God is perfected in him. Now notice what it says. It doesn't say, but whoever obeys his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Now we are to obey, but God says obedience, keeping God's word, comes to those who keep his word. There God's love is perfected in them. What does it mean to keep God's word? It means I don't let it go. It is my life. It is my walk. It is my love. It is my affection. My eyes are often beholding the word of God, looking at the word of God, listening to the word of God. Because by keeping God's word, his love is perfected in me and his word shines up the path. It illumines my mind to the revelation of God's word, which my faith requires, because faith comes by hearing, reading the word of God. We get another glimpse further of this if we look in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John 14, verse 21, and here is what Jesus says in his ministry. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now, just what he's saying here. And then Judas Iscariot said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. He's talking about keeping the word. Words in verse 21, he talks about the commandments, which is the, he's talking after the law in that sense, but it's still the word of God. He who keeps my commandments or my words and keeps them, it is he who loves me. So he says, I've given you my word, I've given you my spirit, I've lighting up the word to you. Now I want you to do something, and I want you to keep it. I don't want you to let it go. Now, is that too hard a thing? This is, if you like, his present to us. This is his gift. But we can give a gift away. And he says, keep this that I am giving you, because he says, if you keep this, then look what is going to happen with this gift. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So he says, on the basis that you keep this gift, my word, I will manifest my Father to you, because you will keep my word. Verse 23, and Jesus said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. So he says, my word is going to reveal my love, and my love is going to affect you, is going to change you in order to keep my word. And my Father will love him or you, and will come to you and make a home with you. Who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So the love of God is all about keeping the word of God. And if you keep God's word, then God's love is going to be perfected in you. Why is it? Because you cannot love in yourself. It requires God's love in you. And not only that, but you can walk in the word. And to walk in the word, to walk in his love, the word of God, which is a gift that you are keeping, helps you to keep clean, to confess sin, those shortcomings. Words, this cleanses us and keeps us right, in a right standing with him. Because John says, if you don't love, we don't know him. Now, there's many who confess Jesus. They know him as the Son of God. They know he came to Calvary to deal with him, to give him a new life. There are many who know that, they read that, but they don't experience it. And you know why they don't? They don't keep the word. They don't keep the revelation of that. And allow the Spirit in which to teach us and feed us and lead us and guide us. You see. They are only moved intellectually. There are many who profess Christ, but they only know it mentally, educationally, if you like, in that way. They believe that to be a Christian, you have to educate yourself in the Word of God. And God forbid, if that is the case, then most of us won't stand a chance. And you see, academics approach the Word of God in that way, but they don't keep it. Why? Because they're not experiencing the love of God. I said at the beginning, faith must have love, and love must have faith. You can learn about faith on an educational level, but you will never know the love that is needed to motivate it unless you keep the Word of God. You keep its revelation. You stay with it. You remain with it. You are faithful with it. You hold on to that gift and you aren't going to give it away. It isn't for sale. It has been given to me. It is mine. I'm looking after it because this is what will get me into the kingdom of God. And you see, going back to John 2 and verse 5, where he says, "But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him." Because he said, "Be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect." So we see that there is a level of perfecting work, perfection, that God does in this life. And the perfection is you keep with it. You hold on to that gift that has been given to you and you don't let it go. By this we know that we are in him. How do you know you are in him? Because you hold on to the gift and don't let it go. And that gift, of course, is the new birth. It is the Word of God. It is the revelation of his word. Don't let any of it go. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 24, "He that endures to the end shall be saved." That is what he's meaning there. You're not going to let any of it go. You're going to remain faithful. You're going to keep listening, keep coming, which he asks us to do, because that is where he perfects us. Not in doing, but in being before him. And when you are faithful to this, then your faith will produce the works of faith that the world will see. Because he said, "By the fruit you know them," and so on. And how is this seen? What does our faith produce? Well, our faith produces fellowship with him. And our fellowship with him inspires our faith. That's why faith comes when you hear the word of God. We in many ways could say we've come today in fellowship to have fellowship with him, who is the head over our meeting. So my fellowship with him, with my brothers and sisters, is inspiring my faith. That is why I say, every time we come together, it is for God to inspire our faith. That is what he's after. Because by that, you will then act your faith, the glorious name. And your faith is going to produce that yielding and that obedience so that God can have his way in your life and in the meeting and so on, you see. And that's why it says in verse 5 about keeping his word, to hold on to it, to keep it safe. So you are being given the word of God, you are being given the deeper life teaching, the end time teaching that is preparing us for the coming of the Lord. This deeper life teaching is the preaching of the kingdom of God, not some denomination or organization or something that you're trying to promote. Not at all. We hold on to this, the keeping of this word, because we keep it safe. We protect it. We preserve it. I can't speak about any other church, but I can only speak about FGA. What God has given us and continues to give us, we are preserving and keeping it. We are protecting it. Exactly what Israel was to do. She was to be custodians of God's word, revelation of Yahweh, to the pagan nations around her. She failed that. She failed it. She was no witness. She wasn't able to teach the nations. But God has placed that upon the church. He's given us the keys to the kingdom. And he says, now you have a revelation of me. You are Gentiles grafted in. You keep now my word. Protect it, preserve it, keep it, proclaim it, teach it, walk in it, and the world will see. And you may say to yourself, well, I don't feel I'm much good at all. Oh, the world is looking. Oh, those demons, I can assure you, Satan's watching. He's not asleep by any means. And that's why we are in many ways custodians of his word. And his word is revealed by his love. And he works that love within us. Because God is love. The Bible from cover to cover is revealing the love of God. The love of God atoned for you and me, for sin. He provided through his love. His love, a stiff-necked nation. He knew they were stiff-necked, Israel, but he chose to love them. God very often loves the unlovable that we don't love, we have no time for. That is how God works, because he first loved us, and he's working that attitude, that mindset within us, so that we are not selective in our love or cliquey in our love. Not at all. We are moved by the Spirit to whoever he leads and guides us to. That is the whole point. And that's why we're called to keep the faith. I saw that pretty quickly when I heard the deeper life in the Spirit, when God began to call and deal with me. One of the things he emphasized, he said, you do not deviate from this. This is what I've called you for. This is what you will preach and teach for the last days. I thank the Lord in his love and mercy and grace. He revealed that to me. That's why I say so much. God never gets it wrong, because he loves us. And unless this word is motivated by the love of God, it won't make any sense at all. What does it say in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7 that you know very well? 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. The Apostle Paul says here, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have kept that gift, he said. I've not let it go. I've not given it away or been stupid with it. I've held on to it, guarded it, because he sees the faith in Jesus Christ, whom he met, whom he saw. the object of his faith, him. And he was so touched by the love of God. He was changed by that love because he was persecuting the church big time. And this is what it is. This is what we do. And that's why we keep coming. That's why we keep the unity of the faith, the Spirit. We come in true unity and oneness because the Word of God motivates us by his love. That's why there cannot be any schism in the body if we love his word. What does it say in Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 3? Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 to 3, where it speaks about walking in unity. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, and through all, and in you all. So notice what he's saying here. This is what faith is motivating. The Apostle Paul says, I'm a prisoner. I'm held in chains. But he says, I beseech you to walk with the calling that is set upon you. Be worthy of that calling with which you are called. Did you know that you have a calling? You are called by God to walk the walk that he wants you to walk. Don't try and get your mind into it. He will order your steps day by day if you trust and believe him in that. And he says you do that with all lowliness. You don't make a big fuss. You're not a prima donna like so many are. And he says you walk in gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Why? Because Rome was not built in a day. It takes time for the love of God through faith to be worked within us, to open our eyes very often to our actions at times, where we're not always as loving as we should be. Our actions can prove it. Or we're harsh and we say unkind things to one another, or whatever it would be. It takes God's Spirit to open our eyes and ears and heart at times. That's why I say we pray one for another. And 9 times out of 10, God will do it. He doesn't call us to react, to act in faith, because that's what love does. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I am willing to die for my brother and sister, maybe to remarks that they may say, or where they didn't recognize me because I did something for them and I never got any thanks or whatever it would be. I choose to die to that for the purpose to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, because that is what love does. The body that I belong to, my fellowship that I belong to, I serve in it to keep that unity and oneness. Why do we do that? Because in that environment, that is where you grow spiritually. If you allow resentment, unforgiveness, to harbour in your heart, you are hindering the unity and oneness of the Spirit. You are hindering the body's growth. You are affecting your brother and sister. This is why I say you have to have your heart right when we come together in fellowship, prayed up, being before the Lord. Because Christ is head, it is his love over us. And if there's schism, unforgiveness, resentment, that can affect the faith that is needed to motivate that love, you see. It's very important. There is one body, one spirit, just as we're called in one hope of your calling. So you are called for this. And love knows what to do. If you are holding to the gift, Word of God, and the Word of God is doing that work in your life, you know what to do. It's not always rocket science, because the Holy Spirit convicts. He shows, you see. He's going to have us to be in unity and oneness, love. You reach 133. It's all about our fellowship, our unity. And it's referred to like the anointing that fell upon the top of the head to the soles of the feet. This is an anointing by the Spirit that God is doing with us. That anointing means to be set apart. We set apart for. We are set apart for fellowship, for unity, for oneness, to offer up praise and thanks that is acceptable to him. That is what you are separated for. Sometimes we forget what our church and fellowship is about. So going back to all of this, if we keep his word, his love then is perfected in us. That is how I love. That is how I will be able to love my enemies, by keeping his word. In other words, it's our maturity. It's coming into completeness, sonship, in other words. This is how the man child is making herself ready in the womb. It is done by her keeping the word and not letting it go. Another area of keeping the word, it means to abide in him and he in us. And that's what we're told to do. We're to abide in him and he abides in us. Again, that's if we keep the word of God, because he is the word. You can't separate him. When you say, I love the word, I love Jesus, because you can't separate. In that sense, that's why we talked a few weeks ago on 2 Corinthians 7:1 about the promises of God, how they cleanse us. This cleansing is a perfecting work. The promises of God's word is God's love to us. These promises are that I can draw from these. They are his provision, his protection, his healing, his deliverance. That's the nature of these promises, and I can draw from them because he loves me and I love him. That's what faith does. That's why we stand upon these promises. You're not always receiving from the Lord. You're not getting breakthroughs because you're failing to see God's love and that you love him. And that's what motivates our faith. You leave love out of faith and you do not have a faith. Certainly not the faith of the gospel. And so God's love is being perfected in us as we daily take up our cross each day and die to the self life, the selfish life. The love of God is being worked in us. And that's why it takes God's love, because our love is impossible. And some of you are still trying to love in your own flesh, in yourself, and you can't do it. And that's why we get frustrated and down and depressed. It's impossible. Of course it is. God has meant it to be impossible with the flesh, with the intellect. He's done that deliberately to show that when you keep his word, he'll do the rest through you. You see. Because this love, his love, is unconditional love. That is why God first loved you and me. That is the love he's perfecting. And it's accepting the terms, including our enemies, those that we don't like very much, or we haven't got anything in common, or whatever it would be. It includes, it embraces all of them. The most defiled of people, the worst libertines. Yes, love embraces them. And this tells us that we are in him and he is in us. We are to know this experientially, because this is what he says back in 1 John 2:5. His word truly, the love of God is perfected in us. By this we know that we are in him. So he perfects his love in us. And this is what tells us. If you want to know you're going on with God and you are being perfected, well, this is the area you are going to either know or you don't know. Because it tells us I am in him and he is in me. To forgive is an experience, it's a knowing. To go that extra mile is an experience, it is a knowing. To be rejected is a knowing, because you forgive. Where you're lied or gossiped or people tell bad things about you, it's an experience because you forgive them. Taking revenge, those that taking revenge or getting your own back on them is not the love of God. And those who do and call themselves Christians and yet give other Christians a mouthful, they are experiencing, showing that they are not really holding to the gift of God's word. It's not special enough to them. They're not valuing it enough. They've not seen what the word of God is to give them eternal life. And you will always see it in love. What comes out, that's how it's expressed. And if they're Christian and they don't love, they don't give, they don't go that extra mile, they don't show that compassion and mercy and forgiveness and so forth, it's a clear sign they don't know the word of God. They may think they do, but they don't. Because 1 John 2:5 clearly reveals this. If we love God, we keep his word. And by keeping it, truly the love of God is perfected or is being perfected in him. Note the word truly. It's an emphasis. If you keep the word of God, the guarantee is God's love is truly being worked in and through you. His love, not your love. And this is the problem. They try to love in their own terms and conditions. And it's no match to the love of God. And that is the difference. And that's why some no longer walk. They go back. Because they tried to do it. They tried to love. They tried to be committed. They tried to turn the other cheek and so forth. And they fail, keep failing. And you will. Because it has to be God's love that works in us. And he said, I'll work that in you if you keep my word. Hold on to it. Keep coming. Keep listening. Keep reading. Hold on to that gift. Never, ever let it go. Because that is eternal life to you. And that gift, his word, is Jesus. God's gift, his son, given to you and I.
So disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.